Hello and welcome. I'm Mark Gagan from The Voice of Insurance. I'm a former insurance broker and now a journalist who writes and podcasts about global insurance. Recently, I caught up with Danny Muleri, the CEO and Director of Business Development at ProMGA Solutions for an interview. ProMS is Pro's independent MGA incubator platform, and Danny and I spoke in detail about the radical changes afoot in the MGA arena, as well as Danny's vision for how ProMS aims to be at the forefront of creating and serving the star MGAs of the future. Now that I've made the introductions, let's get on with the interview. So Danny, tell me about ProMGA Solutions, who you are and what you do.
ProMGA Solutions is a vertical within the Pro Global business. Been trading now for just under 6 years, and in essence is a multi-territorial incubator platform for MGAs. So we work with groups of like-minded underwriters in helping them establish an MGA in territory or enable them to access different territories in terms of their business and realise ultimately what their vision is for their own organisation.
You say multi-territory, so it's not just a London business. Where else have you got licensing?
No, so not just a London business, and I think it's important to be a true partner. It's important to have spread. So we've worked quite hard in establishing ourselves in the US. So we have a trading agency that's licensed across the US, and we also have an agency that's licensed in Europe as well, which is primarily domiciled in Germany, along with the UK license. So from the UK perspective, obviously licensed as a fully FCA authorised intermediary is the formal phrase, also a Lloyd's approved cover holder as well. So we went through the process of embracing Lloyd's and positioning ourselves to be able to be accredited, want for a better way of describing the approval that we had to help our clients achieve their own Lloyd's status. So at the moment, we're just in three territories with a vision to expand into others as well.
How discerning are you to work with? What's the process about coming to work with ProMGA Solutions? And is getting accepted by Pro a validation of an MGA's business ideas and business model?
Yeah, I would say, I think the question, if you was to beg that to perhaps some of our stakeholders, and whether it be risk capital or investors, a lot of feedback that we've had has really been opportunities that we tend to liaise with them on are considered very differently to those that are introduced via other parties, primarily because of the qualification process that we go through. So yes, we are relatively picky, for a better way of describing it, in terms of who we work with, because we want to be known to be shaping insurance via the MGA, so supporting that right underwriting group that are entrepreneurial, that want to add value, make a difference, and ultimately deliver back to the stakeholders, whether it be the customer ultimately or the risk capital returns that they're looking for on a product and a proposition that I think is fit for purpose. So it's quite a robust process, to be fair, that we follow through, and something that we've fine-tuned over probably the last sort of 15, 20 years of working in the MGA space. As you would imagine, a lot of hard conversations as well take place, because not every underwriting group are an MGA. And sometimes it's quite an emotional conversation that takes place. But we take it seriously. We know it's people's visions that we're sometimes changing and having a major impact on their lives. But at the end of the day, we've got to do what we believe is best for the business of insurance and for ultimately the customer.
And I suppose if someone comes to you, at least they know they're going to get a full and really honest appraisal of the business that they're proposing.
Yeah, you're right. And I sort of use the word journey, and we consider ourselves as a partner. And service, as I'm sure we'll touch on, is sort of a given. For me, it's about where we're adding value to that group of underwriters and enabling them to realise the vision that they're on. Now, part of that journey is being very open and very honest with them around whether or not we feel as though their vision, their business plan they're looking to achieve actually is viable, and whether there's probably an appetite to embrace that in the first instance. So, sadly, we do have a very emotional roller coaster of a journey at times, but that's just part and parcel, I think, of what life's about. So there's a lot of realism in terms of what we do. So we do become quite close to a lot of the underwriting teams because of that journey. You could almost say that we provide almost some form of mentoring as well in that regard, because it can be a very lonely and difficult place to be at times. So it's an interesting role that we have. You know, it isn't just about service.
Why don't you take me through the mechanics of what you typically do? For example, do you normally take an equity stake? Are you aligned with any trade capital? And do you help go and source the paper for an MGA?
Yeah, so again, we've embraced, a number of different models historically, but the one for me that works in today's world is one of partnership, as I've touched on before. And actually the question is, well, what's partnership? So partnership for me is alignment. So whilst we have various frameworks that we embrace, because every MGA is extremely different, I think it's important to have a relatively flexible framework that doesn't really portray a square peg in a round hole approach, that support is tailored, and therefore commercial frameworks are tailored accordingly. And then depending upon who the stakeholders are, so your risk capital is one stakeholder or perhaps the investor, then obviously we've built up relationships over the years where, you know, we tend to draw upon those relationships to find the right risk partner to fit the MGA. Now, we are an organisation that does embrace the broker placement model. So I'm a great believer of the broker placement approach, as long as the broker is adding value. That said, we are structured and we are positioned to be able to source risk capital ourselves if we feel as though that's the best approach. So whilst, again, there's a framework, there's a process that we follow, which is very methodical, there's flexibility and adaptability around how we go about realising an MGA's vision and realising them from concept to reality where they're ready to trade.
So it's flexible. So things like equity stakes, you don't insist that you must take an equity stake, but you could, you might sometimes and other times not.
Yeah. And again, I think every MGA is very different. So it's important to be aligned in some instances where potentially there is that conversation around an equity position, but it absolutely is not something that is a must. So for me, it's the underwriter's business and we're here to provide them with support in the first instance, but really, a service that gets them from that concept to reality and then help them manage their business accordingly for a journey that helps them realize that vision, whatever that vision might well look and feel like, whether that's some form of endgame capital event or whether that's a sustainable business that then becomes an insurer or a syndicate or something slightly different. So you have to align yourselves. And to be fair, Mark, I think it's important to be flexible to be able to do that, especially today, because the market's changing so much.
We're in a harder market now where it's more difficult to source paper. So how do you think MGAs are going to evolve? We're talking about alignment. Are they going to have to show their alignment by sourcing some actual capital to back up the paper that they're asking for?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a number of different ways. And we have a number of MGAs as clients today that have really progressed that for me over the last year. And I think the new ones that we're taking on at the moment, some of the innovational thinking they've got around alignment is quite exciting. So to the extent where MGAs that are just seeing risk capital, where the acquisition cost covers their operating costs and their afterwards remuneration is bearing about profitability, so a robust profit commission approach. So that's one. Two, we've got opportunities and we've got clients now that are actually creating both protected cell companies, PCCs, and also reinsurers, where they're actually taking risk themselves on all risks that they write. So I think that the MGA of the future has got to demonstrate a true alignment with their risk capital partner. And there's nothing better than actually bearing some of the risk yourself, irrespective of how that might look and feel. And there's a number of different models out there at the moment that those organisations can embrace. I think not long gone are the days, but I think the traditional model of sourcing risk capital and getting 40 points plus is no longer in existence. So you have to demonstrate true value and true alignment. And they're the sorts of opportunities, MGAs, that we want to really be associated with. Those are shaping the sector are thinking differently rather than perhaps what's been happening over the last, you know, sort of 50 odd years.
We're in a hardening market. Is there still demand from underwriters to start MGAs in the same degree that there was before? Or has the harder market made them more conservative, for example?
And interestingly, I think with what we've been going through over the last 5 months in particular, I think has drawn out the realistic approach that actually you don't necessarily need to be based in an office to be able to trade, that you can work remotely. And MGAs for me have always been masters of being able to work remotely in terms of their structure, the efficiencies, the technology that they embrace, and their general way of working. So I think what it's doing is it's driving the entrepreneurial underwriter that is that way inclined to consider, should they become an underwriter. Likewise, we're seeing a lot of risk capital actually wanting to embrace MGAs in a much more proactive way because of the same fact, because of their own infrastructure, because of the way, again, the world is today and potentially what that looks like going forward. For me, opportunities have only but increased. At Circa, we would see 7 to 10 new opportunities a month pre-COVID-19. Post-COVID-19, run rate is circa 12 to 15. Is that a hockey stick because we had a slight dip? I don't believe so. I think when I talk to my introducers, when I talk to my risk capital partners, and when I talk to underwriters, I think there's just an acceptance that life going forward is going to be different. And actually, the MGA, the right quality of MGA, actually could be the place to be in terms of accessing the distribution and the risks that they all want to write. So I think, if anything, it's actually made it slightly easier, strangely enough.
Where do you think the best opportunities are for MGAs to play in today's market?
In terms of class of business, I think there are a number of classes that are screaming out. I think for good quality MGAs to start underwriting, I think from a territorial perspective as well, I think quite interesting. I think a lot of it, we take a lot of credence from some of the inquiries that we get around risk capital, where risk capital quite clearly are looking at how they're allocating their capital, and they're looking at MGAs now in a much different way than I've been used to in terms of how they access distribution and territories that they wouldn't have even considered previously, because of the fact that the quality of the MGA now is such a high level of good quality technology and underwriting, that actually their fear of delegating their authority, giving the pen away, is sort of being risk managed to a degree where I think it's becoming safer and is much more sought after. So I think there's numerous different ways you could look at it, Mark, in terms of where, as an underwriter, you would position yourself and what your proposition would look and feel like. Now, whether that's purely on a specialist class basis, or whether you become the super MGA, as it's termed in a number of areas, or whether you're traditional in terms of you're just a very good underwriter that's got very good inwards distribution relationships, and very good product development and design. So I think there's a number of different things. I don't think there's one hat that fits all.
Yeah, Danny, I wonder if you can explain to me that term, super MGA.
The super MGA, in my mind, is a group of quality underwriters that perhaps are corralled under one umbrella, that are embracing perhaps similar technology. They're all aligned. They really underwrite specialist business in their classes. But the concept of it, they are one vehicle, may be perceived, could be perceived to be separate MGAs in their own right, but actually they're all aligned. So all for one and one for all. It isn't a case of if one underwriting cell doesn't perform, then that cell doesn't impact the others. In fact, it does. So the super MGA for me is a group of quality underwriters that are corralled within a platform, managed professionally by a CEO, CUO, a group of people that understand that sector and that deliver something different to their risk capital partner. They're not a clunky insurance vehicle that's got massive infrastructure that is like an oil tanker slowly turning. They're nimble, they're effective, they're embracing of technology, and they're aligned, and they're aligned with their risk capital partners. So for me, that's the super MGA is something that we're seeing more of now, more entrepreneurial underwriting managers looking to create the super MGA. It takes time.
How does an MGA really start to build scale quickly?
I think a lot of that, Mark, is again around the fundamentals of distribution relationships in the first instance, of course, product and being innovational in product design. Technology, I think, is important and more important than people probably realize. The utilization of data and really sort of analyzing their sector, their market, understanding what the addressable market is, and probably more importantly, understanding what their risk capital appetite looks like. I think looking and feeling different is important in today's world. And it's important from our perspective to be able to work with those types of organizations, those MGAs, that are really looking to achieve that and strive to achieve that through their life, I suppose, through their life cycle. So for me, it's something that is a differentiator to what an MGA is versus a traditional risk-bearing platform. It should be entrepreneurial, it should be nimble, it should be effective, it should be embracing the technology, and it shouldn't be afraid to buckle trends and think outside the box. That in itself then sends the right message to the inwards distribution, to the customer, then attracts them looking at them as a vehicle that they want to partner, that they want to be insured by. So for me, there's a lot of ingredients that they need to bake the right cake subject to what they're looking for.
You're an operational enabler. So I think you should give me your pitch. On average, how much operational efficiency and superior technology and all the other things does working with you bring to an average startup versus doing it themselves?
I think it's interesting to measure it. And again, it's subject to your MGO and subject to who you are, what you are, and where you want to be in terms of your vision. I mean, the answer is slightly different, but I would say on average, you're saving anywhere between 30 to 60% on operational costs in our experience in terms of embracing some of the ideas and the platform that we offer. And then as time moves on and as the MGA grows, that actually increases to the extent where we've got one or two clients that are achieving 60% plus cost savings from their operational infrastructure if they were to create it themselves. So for me, the MGA, go back to some of the things I said, it has to be nimble. It has to be embracive of technology. Sometimes it just takes a bit of time for an MGA to get from the original concept to reality to that point of maturity where it's optimizing its operational target operating model. And we help do that. And we help set them up in such a way where they can continue to operate an effective TOM that delivers return, that ensures them that they're competitive from their pricing. So there's so many different reasons why they should and they do embrace that approach. Long gone are the days of building an MGA for you and your mates to come along. For me, it's about individuals that are developmental underwriters is the way I would describe it. So you have to look at yourself, whites of the eyes in the mirror of a morning and saying, actually, what am I delivering to this business? So the actual mindset and culture of what an MGA underwriter looks like, I think has significantly changed to what it was, even in the sort of 15, 20 years of me managing MGAs, very different.
We talked a lot about technology and about the application of data. So would it be fair to say that the most successful MGAs are going to be better at data, better at technology than the paper providers that they are seeking support from?
I would say so. I would say a lot of the risk capital, whilst themselves are very tech-minded, you tend to find that a lot of MGAs are pushing the boundaries when it comes to data management, to AI machine learning, and actually getting to the point where the tools that they have available to them are becoming predictive in terms of what loss ratios could look like, feel like on a portfolio mix. So would virtually build a portfolio to demonstrate to their risk capital partner what the returns would look like before they actually physically start underwriting and go and sourcing that business. So for me, that's where the real value of an MGA comes into this fore, is being able to do that and demonstrating to its partners. Data, everyone says it, and there's lots of noise out there around how important it is. But in my experience and seeing it in anger, the more you are in control, the more data you have, the more ability you've got to fine-tune your portfolio, the more profitable you're going to become, the more price-effective you'll be, is absolutely where MGAs, I think, personally, are positioned to be at the forefront of insurance because they can embrace that technology in a much more simpler way than perhaps some of their risk capital partners can. And typically, culturally, are of a mindset that that's where they want to be. That's where they want to go. They're not afraid of change. They're not afraid of embracing the next update to whatever brand of phone or technology they utilize. In fact, they're the ones driving that upgrade. So yeah, data for me is more paramount than it's probably ever been, if I'm honest with you. And I think probably one of the reasons why you're seeing quite a lot of reinsurers really looking to embrace the MGA because of the fact that reinsurers have traditionally and typically, and probably will do forever, embrace data to the nth degree because they understand it.
Your company literature mentions about being focused on an eventual liquidity event for your MGAs. Let's presume that's an exit, a sale from day one. So in order to do that, you've got to build value. You've got to build something that you know people would want to buy. So what do you think are the core elements that add value to an MGA?
An liquidity event question, what does that mean? Is it a sale? Is it a case of you create something different? But for me, it's about helping that the MGA underwriting team realize a vision. And a lot of the time, realizing a vision does involve some form of sale of a business. So it's important to understand the vision of the team, first of all. So we spend quite a bit of time in the early stages of really getting to know and understand what the long-term, medium-term vision is of the group, and then helping them shape a business that achieves that vision. And that's key. So the process we go through, which is tend to be broken down into three core areas, the first two phases are critical to enable that structured MGA to be built in a way where it achieves ideally what they're looking for. During that phase, we term it a discovery phase and a pre-host phase. Engagement with risk capital draws out, and or investor draws out what they're looking for and what milestones need to be achieved to enable them potentially to achieve some form of exit. So we've experienced lots of different discussions where pre-agreed exit buyouts have been achieved based upon various milestones being hit. We've built MGAs that have been very focused on an end game event, subject to certain milestones being done. And then, as you touched on, what's critical is building it in such a way where enterprise value is absolutely created very early. Enterprise value embracing a target operating model that is efficient. So business isn't laden with cost, that embraces technology, that can demonstrate that foresight and their understanding of their class of business in the sector that they're looking to write is sustainable. And in fact, they're pushing boundaries to reshape what that looks like. Again, key to creating enterprise value. The use of data and how that then helps with risk and risk mitigation, that helps with loss ratios, that helps with ultimately returning to the stakeholder, the risk carrier, the risk capital, the value that it's looking for. There's not one piece of secret sauce, is multiple pieces of ingredients is the way I tend to look at it, that makes the cake, that basically ensures that people come and want a slice of it. And it's different for every MGA. So the key thing here is it is not one size fits all. Every MGA is very different. So whilst you might have a very good suite of ingredient to bake a cake, every cake's very different because everyone's taste buds are different as to what they want. So you've got to understand that. And there needs to be some soul searching as well, because as I say, it's an emotional roller coaster of a journey. And a lot of people are not cut out for that. Sometimes you have to be quite brutal. So there's those opportunities there to do that, Mark, I would say. But likewise, we've got lots of opportunities and clients that want to just create a very good, profitable, sustainable business and be something different going forward.
Well, thank you so much, Danny. Thanks very much for your time. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Mark, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that's all we had time for. I really hope you enjoyed it. To find out more, go to pro-global.com.